Sylvester the Boogie Cat, meow, meow. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Still Here, a mini festival of new works in progress. From Friday, June 10th to Saturday, June 18th in Southeast Portland. This mini-festival features artistic works from modern dance to motorcycles, inspired by the lived experiences of 10 artists in residence. Again, that's Still Here, a mini-festival of new works in progress, from Friday, June 10th to Saturday, June 18th in Southeast Portland. More information, including individual event details, can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the home page under Community Events.
Hello, you're listening to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, keeping Portland safe and in touch. Support your independent community radio station, KBOO. You can donate via the KBOO website at kboo.fm/give. There's also a donate button in the mobile app, or you can text KBOO to 44321. But the very best way to support KBOO is by becoming a member at kboo.fm/give. KBOO is a nonprofit, listener-supported community resource for people like you. This is Wider Window Poetry, and I am your host, Teal Ansari, bringing you voices you may not have heard from places you may not have been. But first, a word about the places where you are. KBOO Portland is located on land that includes traditional village sites of the Multnomah, Wasco, Cowlitz, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Bands of Chinook, Tualatin, Kalapuya, Molalla, and many other tribes who made their homes along the Columbia and Willamette Rivers, creating communities and summer encampments to harvest and use the plentiful natural resources of the area. Portland is home to almost 70,000 people descended from these tribes and others. As a latecomer to this region, descended from slaves and immigrants, I thank the indigenous peoples of the Portland area for this place of refuge. It's June, and Juneteenth is coming up. So this month, I am celebrating Black American poets. I don't have a guest, but I did go around the internet and round up as many recordings as I could find of Black poets. So they will be speaking to you in their own voices. The first poet we're going to hear from today is Jamila Woods, whom the Chicago Sun-Times has called a modern-day Renaissance woman. Jamila Woods is a poet, singer, and teaching artist, Pushcart Prize nominee, has been published by Muzzle, Third World Press, and Poetry Magazine. She's the Associate Artistic Director of Young Chicago Authors and a founding member of its Teaching Artist Corps. Woods is a member of Dark Noise, a collective of poets and educators of color. She's the front woman of the Chicago-based soul duo M&O, whose music has been featured in Spin, OK Player, Jet, and Ebony, and she's been awarded a Ruth Lilly and Dorothy Sargent Rosenberg Poetry Fellowship from the Poetry Foundation. Woods lives in Chicago. The poem we're going to hear from Jamila Woods is called Daddy Dozens, and the recording comes from the Poetry Foundation.
So I grew up in a big family, and we a lot of times show our love for each other by making fun of each other. And my dad has the biggest forehead you have ever seen in your entire life. So I wrote this poem for him.
Well, I hope he has a sense of humor and that he loves poetry. Here's Jamila Woods reading Daddy Dozens.
My daddy's forehead is so big, we don't need a dining room table. My daddy's forehead's so big, his hat size is equator. So big, it's a five head. Tyra Banks burst into tears when she see my daddy's forehead. My daddy's forehead got its own area code. My daddy baseball cap got stretch marks. My daddy pillowcase got craters. His eyebrows need GPS to find each other. My daddy forehead lives in two time zones. Planets confuse my daddy forehead for the sun. Couch cushions lose quarters in the wrinkles in my daddy forehead. My daddy's so smart. He falls asleep with the movie on and wake up soon as the credits start to roll. My daddy's so smart, he performs surgery on his own ingrown toenail. Mama was not impressed, but my daddy got brains. My daddy know exactly how to drive me to my friend's house without looking at no map. My daddy born here. He's so smart, he know the highways like the wrinkles in his forehead. He know the free clinics like the gray hairs on his big ass head. My daddy's so smart, he wear a stethoscope and a white coat. My daddy drive to work in a minivan only slightly bigger than his forehead. That's just how my daddy rolls. My daddy got swag. My daddy dance to single ladies in the hallway. My daddy drink a small coffee, cream and sugar. My daddy drink a whole can of Red Bull. My daddy eat a whole pack of sour Skittles and never had a cavity. My daddy's so smart. He got a pull-out couch in his office. Got a mini fridge there too. Got a cell phone and a pager and an email address where I can leave him messages when he's not at home. My daddy's not home. Mama saves a plate that turns cold. But when my daddy does come home, he got an office in his bedroom too. Computer screen, nightlight. Mama says she can't sleep right, but my daddy got work. My daddy at work, at home, in the attic, with the TV on. In the dark, from the front yard, through the windows, you can see him working. Glass flickering. My house got its own forehead, glinting, sweaty, in the evening, while my daddy at work, at home, in his own area code, a whole other time zone.
And that was Jamila Woods with Daddy Dozens. The next poet we're going to hear from is Clint Smith, who is a staff writer at The Atlantic and is the author of the narrative nonfiction book How the Word is Passed, A Reckoning with the History of Slavery Across America, which was a New York Times bestseller and also won the National Book Critics Circle Award for Nonfiction, Hillman Prize for Book Journalism, and was selected by the New York Times as one of the 10 best books of 2021. He's the author of the poetry collection Counting Descent, which won the 2017 Literary Award for Best Poetry Book from the Black Caucus of the American Library Association. Clint Smith received a BA in English from Davidson College and a PhD from Harvard University and was born and raised in New Orleans. And the poems we're going to hear from Clint were read by him at the Radcliffe Institute at Harvard.
One night when I was 12 years old, on an overnight field trip to another city, my friends and I bought Super Soakers, turned the hotel parking lot into our own water-filled battle zone. We hid behind cars, running through the darkness that lay between the streetlights, boundless laughter ubiquitous across the pavement. But within 10 minutes, my father came outside, grabbed me by my forearm and led me into our room with an unfamiliar grip. Before I could say anything, tell him how foolish he made me look in front of my friends, he derided me for being so naive. Looked me in the eye, fear consuming his face, and said, "Son, I'm sorry, but you can't act the same as your white friends. You can't pretend to shoot guns. You can't run around in the dark. You can't hide behind anything other than your own teeth." I know now how scared he must have been, how easily I could have fallen into the empty of the night, that some man would mistake this water for a good reason to wash all of this away. These are the sorts of messages I was inundated with my entire life. Always keep your hands where they can see them. Don't move too quickly. Take off your hood when the sun goes down. My parents raised me and my siblings in an armor of advice, an ocean of alarm bells so someone wouldn't steal the breath from our lungs, so that they wouldn't make a memory of this skin, so that we could be kids, not casket or concrete. And it's not because they thought it would make us better than anyone else. It's simply because they wanted to keep us alive. All of my black friends were raised with the same message. The talk given to us when we became old enough to be mistaken for a nail, ready to be hammered to the ground, when people made our melanin synonymous with something to be feared. But what does it do to a child to grow up knowing that you cannot simply be a child, that the whims of adolescence are too dangerous for your breath, You cannot simply be curious. You are not afforded the luxury of making a mistake, that someone's implicit bias might be the reason you don't wake up in the morning. But this cannot be what defines us. It's we are parents who raised us to understand that our bodies weren't meant for the backside of a bullet, but for flying kites and jumping rope and laughing until our stomachs burst. We had teachers who taught us how to raise our hands in class and not just to signal surrender, and that the only thing we should give up is the idea that we aren't worthy of this world. So when we say that Black lives matter, it's not because others don't. It's simply because we must affirm that we are worthy of existing without fear. When there are so many things that tell us we are not, I want to live in a world where my son will not be presumed guilty the moment he is born, where a toy in his hand isn't mistaken for anything other than a toy. And I refuse to accept that we can't build this world into something new, someplace where a child's name doesn't have to be written on a t-shirt or a tombstone, where the value of someone's life isn't determined by anything other than the fact that they had lungs. A place where every single one of us can breathe. So this is a poem called History Reconsidered, after which the talk is named. And it is thinking about how what we know is that 12 of our first 18 presidents owned slaves. 8 of them owned slaves while they were in office. And this poem is a letter to 5 of them. Letter to 5 of the presidents who owned slaves while they were in office. George Washington, when you won the revolution, how many of your soldiers did you send from the battlefield to the cotton field? How many had to trade in their rifles for plows? Can you blame the slaves who ran away to fight for the British? Because at least the redcoats were honest about their oppression. Thomas Jefferson, when you told Sally Hemings that you would free her children if she remained your mistress, did you think there was honor in your ultimatum? Did you think we wouldn't be able to recognize the assault in your signature just raping your slave when you disguise it as bribery, make it less of a crime? When you wrote the Declaration of Independence, did you ever intend for Black people to have freedom over their bodies, James Madison? When you wrote to Congress that Black people should count as 3/5 of a person, how long did you have to look at your slaves to figure out the math? Was it easy to chop them up? Did you think they'd be happy being more than just half human, James Monroe? When you proposed sending slaves back to Africa, did Black bodies feel like rented tools? When you branded them, did the scar on their chest include an expiration date? When you named the country Liberia, were you trying to be ironic? Does this really count as liberation in Andrew Jackson? Was the Trail of Tears not enough for you? Was killing Cherokee, Choctaw, Creek, Seminoles not enough to quench your imperialism? How many brown bodies do you have to bulldoze before you can call it progress, Mr. Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, Jackson? When you put your hand on the Bible and swore to protect this country, let's be honest in who you were talking about. When the first Independence Day fireworks set the sky aflame, don't forget where we were watching from. So when you remember Jefferson's genius, don't forget the slaves who built the bookshelves in his library. When you remember Jackson's victories in war, don't forget what he's fighting to preserve. When you sing that this country was founded on freedom, don't forget the duet of shackles dragging against the ground my entire life. I've been taught how perfect this country was, but no one ever told me about the pages torn out of my textbook, how Black and brown bodies have been bludgeoned for 3 centuries and find no place in the curriculum. Oppression doesn't disappear just because you decided not to teach us that chapter. If you only hear one side of the story, at some point you have to question who the writer is.
And that was Clint Smith reading at the Radcliffe Institute. You're listening to KBOO, KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. And this is Wider Window Poetry. The next poet we're going to hear from is Safia Sinclair, who was born and raised in Montego Bay, Jamaica. She's the author of the memoir How to Say Babylon, and she's also the author of the poetry collection Cannibal, winner of a Whiting Writers Award, American Academy of Arts and Letters Metcalf Award, the OCM Bocas Prize for Caribbean Poetry, the Phyllis Wheatley Book Award, and the Prairie Schooner Book Prize in Poetry. Cannibal was selected as one of the American Library Association's Notable Books of the Year and was a finalist for the Penn Center USA Literary Award. Safia Sinclair has an MFA in poetry from the University of Virginia, PhD in literature and creative writing from the University of Southern California, and is currently an associate professor of creative writing at Arizona State University. We're going to hear 2 poems from her, Portrait of Eve as the Anaconda and The Center of the World. And The Center of the World comes to us from Poetry Magazine's website.
Portrait of Eve as the Anaconda. I too am learning the vulgarity of botany, the eye and its nuclei for mischief, of man redacted I came and coming, fasting, starving, carved, myself a selfish idol, its shell unsuitable. I, twice discarded, arrived thornside, and soon outgrew his reptilian sheen. A fine specimen. Let me have it. Something inviolate, splayed in birdlime, legs an exposed anemone against jailbait August, its x-ray sky. This light, a gorgon slick, polygamous doom. And God again, calling much too late, who aches to stick an ache in my unmentionable. His primal plant remains elusive, wildfire and pathogen, blood knot of human fleshed there in his beard. How I am hot for it. Call me murderous, a glowing engine timed to blow. Watch it go on jealousy shadow. Let me have it. This maidenhead primeval schemes what ovule of cruel invention, the Venus trap, the menses. And how many ways to announce this guilt, whore's nest of ague, supernova, wild stigmata, womb. I boast of Vogue sacrosanctum, engorging short pornographies, the cells unruly strain, rogue empire multiplying for a thousand virile thousand years, my wings pinned wide in parthenogenesis, such miraculous display.
And the one we're going to hear is called Center of the World.
The black female body, I think, lies somewhere between exotification and rejection. And with this poem, I wanted to counteract that by exalting beauty unapologetically, both through the rich language and imagery, this Baroque imagery, in an almost threatening and dangerous way.
Here's Safiya Sinclair reading Center of the World.
The meek inherit nothing. God in his tattered coat this morning, a quiet tongue in my ear, begging for alms, cold hands reaching up my skirt. Little lamb, paupered flock, bless my black tea with tears. I have shorn your golden fleece, worn vast spools of white lace, glittering jacquard, gilded fig leaves, jeweled dust on my skin, corn silk hair in my hems. I have milked the stout beast of what you call America and wear your men across my chest like furs. Stickpin fox and snow blue chinchilla, they too came to nibble at my door. The soft pink tangles I trap them in. Dear watchers in the shadows, dear thick-thighed fiends, at ease, please. Tell the hounds who undress me with their eyes, I have nothing to hide. I will spread myself wide. Here, a flash of muscle. Here, some blood in the hunt. Now the center of the world, my incandescent cunt. All hail the dark blooms of amaryllis and the wild pink damascus, my sweet Aphrodite unfolding in the kink. All hail hot jasmine in the night, thick syrup in your mouth, forked dagger on my tongue, legions at my heel. Here at the world's red Mecca, kneel. Here, Eden. Here, Bethlehem. Here, in the cradle of Thebes. A towering sphinx roams the garden, her wet dawn devouring.
And that was Safiya Sinclair. Next, we're going to hear from Dennis Smith. Dennis Smith was born in St. Paul, Minnesota, and is the author of Don't Call Us Dead, which was a finalist for the National Book Award, Insert Boy, winner of the Lambda Literary Award and the Kate Tufts Discovery Award, and the chapbook Hands on Your Knees, Penmanship Books 2013. Smith is the recipient of fellowships from the McKnight Foundation, Kaveh Kanem, Voices of Our Nation, and elsewhere, and they are a founding member of the multi-genre, multicultural Dark Noise Collective. They've appeared in Poetry, Plowshares, Beloit Poetry Journal, Kinfolks, and others. Dinesh Smith is a 2011 Individual World Poetry Slam finalist and the reigning two-time Rust Belt Individual Champion, and has been on championship teams, directed slam poetry festivals, and has earned slam poetry fellowships. They are a co-host of the Poetry Foundation's podcast. And what we're going to hear from Dinesh Smith is selections from a long poem titled Summer Somewhere, and these excerpts come from the Poetry Foundation's website.
These are excerpts from Summer Somewhere. Somewhere, a sun. Below, boys brown as rye play the dozens and ball, jump in the air and stay there. Boys become new moons, gum dark on all sides, beg bruised blue water to fly, at least tide. At least spit back a father or two. I won't get started. History is what it is. It knows what it did. Bad dog, bad blood, bad day to be a boy, color of a July well spent. But here, not earth, not heaven, boys can't recall their white shirt turned a ruby gown. Here, there is no language for officer or law, no color to call white. If snow fell, it'd fall black. Please. Don't call us dead. Call us alive someplace better. We say our own names when we pray. We go out for sweets and come back. This is how we are born. Come morning, after we cipher, feast, hoop, we dig a new boy from the ground, take him out his tree box, shake worms from his braids. Sometimes they'll sing a trap god hymn. What a first breath. Sometimes it's they eyes who lead, scanning for bone flesh men in blue. We say, congrats, you're a boy again. We give him a do-rag, a bowl, a second chance. We send him off to wander for a day or ever, let him pick his new name. That boy was Trayvon, now called Rain King. That man Sean names himself I Do, I Do. Oh, the imagination of a new reborn boy. But most of us just settle on alive. Sometimes a boy is born right out the sky, dropped from a bridge between starshine and clay. One boy showed up pulled behind a truck, a parade for himself in his wet red gown. Years ago, we plucked brothers from branches, unpeeled their naps from bark. Sometimes a boy walks into his room, then walks out into his new world, still clutching wicked metals. Some boys waded here through their own blood. Does it matter how he got here if we're all here to dance? Grab a boy, spin him around. If he asks for a kiss, kiss him. If he asks where he is, say gone. No need for geography now that we're safe everywhere. Point to whatever you please and call it church, home, or sweet love. Paradise is a world where everything is a sanctuary and nothing is a gun. Here, if it grows, it knows its place in history. Yesterday, a poplar told me of old forests heavy with fruits I'd call uncle, bursting red pulp and set afire, harvest of dark wind chimes. After I fell from its limb, it kissed sap into my wound. Do you know what it's like to live someplace that loves you back? Here, everybody wanna be black and is. Look. The forest is a flock of boys who never got to grow up, blooming into forever. Afros like maple crowns reaching sap slow toward sky. Watch forests run in the rain, branches melting into paper soft curls, duck under the mountain for shelter. Watch the mountain reveal itself a boy. Watch mountain and forest playing in the rain. Watch the rain melt everything into a boy with brown eyes and wet naps. The lake turns into a boy in the rain. The swamp, a boy in the rain. The fields of lavender, brothers dancing between the storm. If you press your ear to the dirt, you can hear it hum.
not like it's filled with beetles and other low gods, but like a mouth rot with gospel and other glories. Listen to the dirt crescendo, a boy back. Come, celebrate. This is every day holy, every day high holiday, every day new year, every year days get longer, time clogged with boys, the boys, oh the boys, they still come in droves, the old world keeps choking them, our new one can't stop spitting them out. Ask the mountain boy to put you on his shoulders if you want to see the old world. Ask him for some lean in and you'll be home. Step off him and walk around your block. Grow wings and fly above your city. All the guns fire toward heaven. Warning shots mince your feathers. Fall back to the metalless side of the mountain. Cry if you need to. That world of laws rendered us into dark matter. We ask for nothing but our names and a mouth we've known for decades. Some of us were blessed to know the mouth. Our decades betrayed us. There, I drowned, back before, once. There, I knew how to swim but couldn't. There, men stood by shore and watched me blue. There, I was a dead fish, the river's prince. There, I had a face and then I didn't. There, my mother cried over me, but I wasn't there. I was here, by my own water, singing a song I learned somewhere south of somewhere worse. That was when direction mattered. Now, everywhere I am is the center of everything. I must be the lord of something. What was I before? A boy? A son? A warning shot? A myth? I whistled. Now I'm the god of whistling. I built my Olympia downstream. You are not welcome here. Trust, the trip will kill you. Go home. We earned this paradise by a death we didn't deserve. I am sure there are other heres, a somewhere for every kind of somebody, a heaven of brown girls braiding on golden stoops. But here, how could I ever explain to you? Someone prayed we'd rest in peace. And here we are, in peace, whole, all summer.
That was Dennis Smith. You're listening to Wider Window Poetry on KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. And the next poet we're going to hear from was born in Portland, Camille Rankin, who earned a BA at Harvard University and an MFA at Columbia University, is the author of the collection Incorrect Merciful Impulses and the chapbook Slow Dance with Tripwire, which was chosen for the Poetry Society of America's New York Chapbook Fellowship. Rankin's honors include a Discovery / Boston Review Poetry Prize, a McDowell Colony Fellowship, and an honorary Cave Canem Fellowship. She has served on the staff of Cave Canem, and she lives in New York City, where she's a visiting assistant professor at the New School, serves as editorial director for the online literary journal The Manhattanville Review, and sings with the band Miru Mir. And we're going to hear two poems by Camille Rankin coming from the Academy of American Poets Poem A Day collection.
This is Camille Rankin reading Ways to Disappear. In the dark, down a stairwell, through the doorway, gone west, with a new wish, in daylight, down the sidewalk, in a wool coat, in a white dress, without a name, without asking, on your knees, on your stomach, gone silent, in the back seat, in the courtroom, in a cage, in the desert, in the park, gone swimming, on the shortest night, at the bottom of the lake, in pieces, in pictures, without meaning, without a face, seeking refuge, in a new land, gone still, in the heart, with your head bowed, in deference, in sickness, in surrender, with your hands up on the sidewalk, in the daylight, in the dark.
Inheritance by Camille Rankin. What have I to say in my wrong tongue of what is gone? To know something is lost, but what? You have forgotten what you long forgot. If I am what survives, I am here, but I am not much of anything at all. To be what's left, and all the rest scooped out and dropped into the sea, my flesh forming a knot on itself, is a habit learned from whom? A mind reaching back into the dark, a body releasing itself backward into space, a faith I have no prayer in which to keep. Am I home or merely caught between two unmarked graves? I'm saying where we live, it's a mistake, a compromise I'm made to make. I'm told come willingly halfway across a bridge to where I'm halfway human, or else a door bricked over, behind which all I am to be, shadow cast by shadows cast by no one's hand. And now whose fault am I? It said I stand against the grain of natural law, a being in chaos, in argument with itself. What would it be to be simply? I am here, but what of me that's gone stays gone?
Our next poet is Sharif Shanahan. He is a poet, essayist, and translator. He's the author of Into Each Room We Enter Without Knowing, which was a winner of the Crab Orchard Series in Poetry First Book Award and a finalist for the Lambda Literary Award for Gay Poetry. Shanahan was born in the Bronx to an Irish-American father and a Moroccan mother, holds an AB in Comparative Literature and Creative Writing from Princeton, an AM in Comparative Literature and Literary Translation from Dartmouth, and an MFA in Poetry from NYU's Graduate Creative Writing Program. Former Programs Director of the Poetry Society of America, he has taught at California College of the Arts, the College di Milano in Italy, New York University, and Stanford University. Currently, he's an assistant professor of English and creative writing at Northwestern University. Sharif Shanahan.
This is called Plantation. When he finally brought the hammer down 1/2 inch from my mother's face, the hole in the wall wide as a silver dollar, I was close enough, huddled there in the folds of her lap, her arms wet with sweat and crossed against my back. And since from the room all sound had gone, I was clear enough to see inside the cracked plaster. A river delta, fractured, branching off and becoming the sea, or a tiny moon on a shore of white sand, the tide lapping it in foam and tugging. No, 12 dead presidents perched there, each with the face of my father, tight-lipped, vacant-eyed, scanning the field for a body to mark, then locking in on her knee-bent dread. Ordinary, mammary, a yellow suckling heavy on her tit. No, I think it was her one good eye, refusing to blink, scaling the bare white wall at the core of the mind, not measuring its height, then circling a waterless well in a desert without sand, unnumbered sisters before her, caught in the belly of the boats, where there was too much sound to hear, though only one voice, one cry, their dark arms like trellised vines crossed and reaching. Okay, I'm gonna do a prose poem called Clean Slate. And part of the, you know, I mentioned earlier the the instability of race. I think part of the way that that's been expressed and part of the kind of historical explanation for that, expressed within my family, and the historical explanation for that is the intersection of Blackness and Arabness, and how within the Arab world there's really a disavowal of Blackness and of Africanness. And I'll probably be speaking longer than the poem. The poem's quite short, but it's necessary contextualization. In North Africa, for folks who may not know, identity is incredibly complex because there are actually two colonial histories in the North. When we think about a colonial history in North Africa, we think about French occupation typically, but the Arab presence in North Africa is itself a colonial history. And what we actually have in North Africa are Arabized Africans who then centuries later were colonized by the French. And so the psychic trauma really and the complexity around identity in the North is what results in even phenotypically very dark North Africans identifying with Europe, not identifying with Sub-Saharan Africa, not identifying with Blackness. And so it's especially coming from the US, it's surreal. So this is a prose poem called Clean Slate. As a very young woman, my mother drank a glass of bleach, thinking it water, not tasting the burn, not smelling a single fume. At the hospital, after she had begun to breathe, the color returned to her face. The doctor warned, one chemical will never exit your system. It won't ever leave you. Though she has survived, she does not know it. Yesterday on the phone, I said, I'm beginning to understand that I am African. And she said, now how can that be, child? How can that be? And I'll just read one more from that vein since I talk so much about the historical context. This is called The Most Opaque Sands Make for the Clearest Glass. The dark matter turned its face to mine, and I could feel its breathing, the invisible pull between the invisible air and my half-lit face, hungry and waiting. I felt it reaching for me, the sorrow down slip of its call, its smoke tongue licking behind my ears, my hair erect with kinesis. I felt it settle on and around the table, a slow turning, a cold tail. How can she sit there and say, child, I am not, we are not, in spite of, no, inside of, the dark fact of her body? And I'm gonna close with something from the other thread of the book, which explores queer identity and queer sexuality. And this is a sequence called Homosexuality, and it's organized geographically. So each section has its own geography. And so I'll just name the place where we are. Thank you so much again for being here and for inviting me to read these poems too. Homosexuality. New York. These days, my sympathy narrows. In the Barracuda, I sip a dirty martini, my back against the bar. In the half-lit glitz, marionettes bloom from the ceiling, the walls, stringless, they fumble into each other. Always about to fall. Casablanca. My uncles find wives at the Souk. Kowtar and Latifa were sisters, now sisters-in-law. At home, preparing couscous, they slip gin into their buttermilk, their men at the window calling down to boys on bicycles. Laramie. Florence. And are you here too, dear Brunetto? If I had not in those days found you among the other poets in the ghetto, would I now be here passing through this place, guided by the elder to the skies above the sky? How could I alone issue these words, this music in our sighs? Give me your book, your exiled hands. I will hold them as your unreadable eyes and walk with reverence on burning sands. California. This initiative measure is submitted to the people in accordance with the provisions of Article 2, Section 8 of the state constitution. This initiative measure expressly amends the state constitution by adding a section thereto. Newark, New Jersey, Cypress, Texas, Greensburg, Indiana, Tehachapi, California. Facebook asks, what's on your mind? Jumping off the GW bridge, sorry. No note, no note, no note. Zurich. As though recklessly, we burn the old parchments in unison, cleansing the walls with their smoke, as though our bodies themselves have magnetized. Like at night, when I enter the room to join you in bed, and you, still asleep, reach out for me. Thank you so much.
That was Cherif Shanahan reading at the San Francisco Public Library. You're listening to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and this is Wider Window Poetry, celebrating Black American poets for the month of June. The next poet we're going to hear from is named Nicole Seeley. She was born in St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands and was raised in Apopka, Florida. She earned an MLA in Africana Studies from the University of South Florida and an MFA in Creative Writing from New York University. She's the author of the collections Ordinary Beast and The Animal After Whom Other Animals Are Named, which won the Drinking Gourd Chapbook Poetry Prize. She has many other honors and awards. She's been a fellow at Cave Canem Poetry Project, Breadloaf Writers Conference, Canto Mundo, and the McDowell Colony. She's currently the executive director at Cave Canem, a visiting professor at Boston University, and Hodder Fellow at Princeton University. I'm going to play two poems from Nicole Seeley via the Poetry Foundation, titled And Object Permanence. Nicole Seeley.
This is Nicole Seeley reading And. Withstand pandemonium and scandalous nightstands commanding candlelight and quicksand and Zinfandel, clandestine landmines, candy handfuls, and contraband, and handmade commandments and merchandise, secondhand husbands philandering, and landless, and vandal bandwagons slandered and branded, handwritten reprimands, and meander on an island landscaped with chandeliers, abandoned handcuffs, standstills, and backhands. Notwithstanding thousands of oleanders and dandelions handpicked, and sandalwood and mandrake and random demands, the bystander wanders in Wonderland. Object Permanence for John. We wake as if surprised the other is still there, each petting the sheet to be sure. How have we managed our way to this bed, beholden to heat like dawn indebted to light? Though we're not so self-important as to think everything has led to this, everything has led to this. There's a name for the animal love makes of us. Named, I think, like rain for the sound it makes. You are the animal after whom other animals are named. Until there's none left to laugh, days will start with the same startle, and end with caterpillars gorged on milkweed. Oh, how we entertain the angels with our brief animation. Oh, how I'll miss you when we're dead.
That was Nicole Seeley. This is Wider Window Poetry on KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. We're doing Black Poets this month, and we're going to finish up with Aja Monet. Aja Monet is a surrealist blues poet, storyteller, and organizer born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. She won the New York and Poets Cafe Grand Slam Poetry Award title in 2007. Her first full collection of poems is titled My Mother Was a Freedom Fighter. Her poems explore gender, race, migration, and spirituality. In 2018, she was nominated for an NAACP Literary Award for Poetry, and in 2019, was awarded the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Award for Poetry for her cultural organizing work in South Florida. And the pieces we're going to hear by Aja Monet were performed at Black Power Live in the summer of 2020. Aja Monet.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Aja Monet. I want to say thank you to everyone who helped organize this event. I want to say thank you to all the artists and the organizers who have been in difficult and necessary conversations during this moment. And this is when we need to pull people in. This is the moment that we come together. We do what's necessary. So, please donate and support in whichever way you can. This first poem I'm gonna read is from my collection of poems called My Mother Was a Freedom Fighter. And the poem is dedicated to all the women who we know and those who are nameless that have also bared the brunt of the vicious brutality in this country. It's called Say Her Name. I am a woman carrying other women in my mouth. Behold a sister, a daughter, a mother, dear friend, spirits demystified in a comrade's tone. They gather to breathe and exhale a dance with death we know is not the end. All these nameless bodies haunted by pellet wounds in their chests. Listen for us in the saying of a name you cannot pronounce. Black and woman is a sort of magic you cannot hashtag, the mere weight of it too vast to be held. We hold ourselves an inheritance felt between the hips. Woman, a soft darkness, portal of light. Watch them envy the revolution of our movement. We break open to give life flow. Why the terror of our tears, the torment of our taste? My rage is righteous. My love is righteous. My name is righteous. Hear what I am not here to say. We too have died. We know we are dying too. I am not here to say, look at me, how I died so brutal a death. I deserve a name to fit all the horror in. I am here to tell you how if they mention me in their protests and their rallies, they would have to face their role in it too. My beauty too. I have died many times before the blow to the body. I have bled many months before the bullet to the flesh. We know the body is not the end. Call it what you will. But for all the hands, cuff wrists of us, the shackled ankles of us, the bend over to make room for you of us, how dare we speak anything less than I love you, we who love just as loudly in the thunderous rain as when the world and the sun shines golden on our skin and the world kisses us unapologetically. We be so beautiful when we be. How you gonna be free without me? Your freedom is tied up with mine. At the nappy edge of our souls, singing with all our sisters, watch them stretch their arms in my voice, how they fly, open-chested toward your ear. Listen, listen for Rekia Boyd, Tanisha Anderson, Yvette Smith, Ayanna Jones, Kayla Moore, Shelley Frey, Miriam Carey, Kendra James, Alberta Spruill, Tariqa Wilson, Charisse Francis, Chantel Davis, Melissa Williams, Darnisha Harris, Michelle Casso, Pearly Golden, Katherine Johnston, Eleanor Bumpers, Natasha McKenna, Shaniqua Proctor, Sandra Bland, Raya Milton, Breonna Taylor. We are each saying that we do not vanish in the bated breath of our brothers, but show me Show me a man willing to fight beside me, my hand in his, the color of courage. There is no mountaintop worth seeing without us. So meet me in the trenches where we lay our bodies down in the valley of the voice. Just say it. Say her name. This next poem is called My Love, and I'm glad to be joined by a band. So come on, let's do it. We're gonna rock out. This is dedicated to Black love. My love be a front line. My love be a riot. Be a fighter, be a shade that sisters and saves. My love survived the middle passage, waded the waters. My love be grassroots, organizes movements, the birds, the bees. My love be butterflies beaming. My love be indigenous, ocean wide, sky deep, listening to the land, all natural, no preservatives. My love be homemade, from the scratch, scribbled, handwritten notes, adoration. My love be scripture. Be ritual, be baptism, be revivals, a cathedral built from bare hands, a Taj Mahal, all the temples. My love creates new ways to worship. Serenity, sorcery, hieroglyphs across your chest, tongue tied. My love be sacred geometry, past life premonitions, revelations, gratitude, prayer hands. My love be call and response, praise the eyelashes, praise the eyes. My love be a river like the Nile, ancient and long. My love be a crowd of shyness, secret messages in the rosy red of dimples. My love be a reflection, a looking glass, be magic, a song we only dance to. My love make no excuses, be compassionate, forgives but not stupid, be backbone, be ass whooping accountable, be love. My love be love, abundant, limitless, endless, giving, make no mistakes, less they lessons. My love be book smart, be Google ready, encyclopedic, soul listening, kindred, twin flames, seeking, questioning, answering, demanding, aggressive, hugging, consent, candle lighting, tarot card, psychic healing, intuitive. My love be brave, heavy-hearted, light-headed, woozy, clumsy, knee-wobbling, butterfly, belly dance, floating and fluttering. My love be goofy. Be goofy, be silly, be trusting, be foreplay, be aching, be tempting to taste, to savor, weary, wounded, ridden ghosts. Some things cannot be saged, but must be faced. My love be partnership. Be collective. Don't leave when things get tough. Be flawed, be stretch marked, pudgy and bold. My love squeezes pimples, tweezes ingrowns, memories. My love be a lighthouse in the middle of a storm, be light. Why every time we tell a man about himself, our love gotta come into question? Who said loving you would be a walk in the white section of the park? Who wrote the poems that make love into a doormat, doorbell, pornographic, wet dream, male gaze, nonsense, romance film? Who done turned love into a battle of the sexes? Say I can't love my man and tell him where it hurts or how or when to stop or when to slow and treat me with kindness. Who say I can't teach you how to love, how to tend a tug and touch, how to witness and watch? Who say love gotta humiliate me, gotta turn me into a victim, into damsel in distress? If I could tell you about yourself to your face, I wouldn't have to speak to strangers. Why my love always gotta be in question, gotta go through tests, relay races, obstacle courses, gotta hop on one leg and bark like a dog? Why my love gotta do backflips, learn rocket science, speak mansplain? Why my love gotta wait till you ready to love you? Why the world ain't got my back, and I always seem to have yours? How y'all feel? I mean, that was all right. Okay. Yeah, that was fun. Okay, so the next one is called Black Joy. And this one, have fun. We all have fun. Black Joy. Joy is the will. Is the dimple that has endured a dance so deep in a dark cheek, a wound without a scar, without a trace, the humor of hurt. Is the hell of being healed joy?
adapts, death lives in the grin, singing from the blood, bathes in a smirk, testifies tenderness in a tear. Is a smile silhouetted against the face, witnessing the want is the flower in the grenade. A rose in the concrete, a pirouette beside a barricade, is the butterfly in the battlefield. Is disarming, the swing set in the middle of a gunfight, dodging a bullet. Hopscotch, double dutch, fierce gaze, the side eye, the shade, the sass, the snap, the head nod, the turn up, the swag. Joy is righteous and ratchet. Joy twerks and taps, jukes and jives. Harlem shakes, electric slides, dutty wine, sauces on twos and rumbas. Joy. Joy is rhythm and repetition, hums and harmony is the blues, is a song in a cotton field or central bookings or on a crowded subway. Joy is a song anywhere. Joy, bees in the trap, is a dilla beat. Is a dilla beat in the Middle East, is fly, is finger licking good, is pastelas with black beans or a patty and cocoa bread, is fried chicken with barbecue sauce or buffalo sauce or hot sauce or any damn sauce. Joy. Joy is a recipe passed on, a language that survives. It's savory, sweet, toe-curling, knocking boots, the fight, the fury, making love to make up. It is the glow. It is an entire day in a lover's arms, a carton of ice cream, a bed of books, illuminated in the aftermath, wrinkled lips, a powdered kiss. It is the shivering of the hips. It's the theater of thunder. Joy. Joy is a story traveling through laughter, a rocking chair on the front lawn, a wind chime in a window, a barbecue in the backyard, subwoofers in a hoopty. It's melanin gathered in a room. It's the entourage. It's the entourage. It's getting your friends in the club. Joy, joy. I'm talking about joy is all kind of vibes. It's a roof over your head. It's clothes on your back. It's free 99. It's having the rent when it's due or having no rent at all. It's no debt, no credit check. Joy. It's shooting dice in a stairway. It's getting a hand in spades. A double six got to go in dominoes. Hoops in a crate. Opening a fire hydrant. It's the heat. It's a six block willy through traffic with no handlebars in the rain. It's the catwalk, it's the voguing, it's the coming out, it's a crackhead with a dime bag and a dream, it's fresh pair of white kicks with the check, it's bottle caps glued beneath dress shoes, it's $3 in the tank, it's catching rainwater in a tin cup, a firefly in your palm, it's buying sunflowers for yourself on a cloudy day. Joy, joy is a moon in the sky, as if in a school play, it's your father in the audience, it's skipping school, a recess, it's a screen without static, aluminum or foil antenna, it's when the belt buckle snaps, or the switch breaks, or your mom just gets too damn tired. Joy is waving down the ice cream truck. It's a fresh lineup. It's the clean doobie. It's perfect coil to a curl. Loose a nap and an afro pick. Joy, joy, joy is the gift of gab. It's wrapping your ass off. It's roasting or wrestling a sibling to tap out. It's your mama joke until it's your mama. It's the first foot out the jail. It's the homecoming, the graduation, the step show at the probate. Joy, joy is hugging the self. It's what conquers the heart and captures the blame. It's the madness of our meaning. It's the maturity of our memory. It's the irony of our forgetting. It's a helicopter. It's a helicopter 4 days. 4 days after the hurricane on a roof with no water and no food. It's a mother picking her daughter up from foster care. It's smoking a joint and a cop car switching lanes. It's food stamps at the first of the month. It's no snitching. It's no snitching. It's loyalty, perseverance, protest, resilience, resistance. It's the food after the funeral, the parade. It's the blessing, the curse. It's the call, the response. It's the prayer, the pulpit. It's evidence of things unseen. It's the hallelujah, the amen, the Holy Ghost. It's speaking in tongues. It's when the santos say, you don't need no cleaning. It's genetic heirloom. It's the portable promised land. It's the diaspora. It is the diaspora. It is making it overseas or making it over the Mason-Dixon line. I'm talking about joy. Joy is family. It's brotherhood, it's sisterhood, it's feeling another's dimple in your face. It's together, 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 unified on the front lines. Our joy will astonish the world. Cause true joy has always been and will always be justice.